Allow me to speak under the thematic expression. Jesus is a man of war. Let's say together, Jesus is a man of war. You know, I'm all for a beautiful Jesus. And I love him for that. But I need a man of war. If you know where I come from, you know I need a man of war. We might be in four ways, but we're not from four ways. We need a Jesus who is a man of war. I want us to briefly consider Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, a very, very powerful description of the person of Jesus Christ. We've been on a series of sermons around the personhood of Christ. Today we're focusing on Jesus as being the Redeemer. But I just felt very much pressed of the Lord to speak about Christ as a man of war. A man of war, because I'll tell you what, it is vital that we see him as a man of war, because if we don't see him as a man of war, we'll take matters into our own hands. Many of us have taken matters into our own hands, or into the hands of Sangoma, Sabatandazeli, and the likes, because we are not convinced that he's a man of war. The Jesus we often speak about is too cute. Have you seen the one we grew up watching? He's got blue eyes, long flowing hair. No wonder we say Wamuhle, because he's just... But you think to yourself, can this one fight my battles? Can this one fight my battles? But let's look at the book of Revelation and see if our belief system around who Christ is very much attuned. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Listen to this. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Now, listen to this part. With justice, he judges and he wages war. He wages war. We need a type of Christ who can start a war. We need a type of Christ who can finish a war. Now, one of the things that is said about Jesus is that with justice, he judges and he wages war. Now, listen to these descriptions. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us pray. Shigo, can you please just accompany me there? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, oh God, for unction and for utterance, even as we're going to speak your word, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. In our faith, we were told to turn the other cheek. And very many of us have a problem with that particular conception. But what I've come to find out or realize is this, is because he wants to take the matter into his own hands. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As it depends, amen. If it's possible, rather. Now, listen to this. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Many of us, because we take vengeance for ourselves, we will never ever see the vengeance of the Lord. For it is written, It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And then listen to this. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here is one of the things that we've come to realize from Scripture. One of the redemptive names of God is that he's Jehovah Sabaoth. Somebody say Sabaoth. What do we call it in Zulu? Sabaoth, right? Sabaoth. Sabaoth. Yeah. And it basically speaks about the Lord of the armies. The Lord of the armies. We see in the book of Matthew, when Jesus was to be fetched and Peter tried to take matters into his own hand. And the Bible says that Jesus said, look, man, whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword. And don't you know that I could actually call down angels to come and fight on my behalf? Now, when we speak about the Lord of hosts, we are speaking about that he's a man of war. One of the things that is said about the Lord, the question is asked, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord, listen to this, mighty in battle. Our last text will be Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. One of the things I just want to point out as we close is this. Is that God will begin to create circumstances around us to show us his ability in war. Let's look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now, I was just thinking to myself, imagine this. You're about to go and fight a nation. And God says, instead of rather giving you swords, he says, let's remove the flesh. No, think about that. Because if you will undergo this process, you need times to heal. But he says, look, in your current state, you are too strong to fight. Let me rather weaken you, because in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Yeah. So you look at yourself and you say, life has circumcised me. But what you fail to realize is that you are stepping into a fight that needs Jehovah Sabaoth, a man who will take vengeance on your behalf. Now, why did he do so? All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on their way after leaving Egypt. All the people that had come out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were what? Until all the men. Until all the men who were literary age when they had left Egypt had died. See, they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. There are some fights we cannot fight in unless we allow for the Lord and the process of time to heal us. Verse 9 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So this place shall be called Gilgal to this day. Now let's move to verse 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. Can I say this? I've got news for someone. God is not hating on all your haters. Hey, you don't know the God that I serve. I'm serving the same one. The same one. You know, sometimes the Lord is so conflicted. He's both the father and the father-in-law in marriage. Amen. So what you see here, the Lord says, neither replied. But as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now, theologians talk about what is referred to as theophany. Somebody say theophany. A theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ does not come from Mary, but rather he came through Mary. He was in existence before time began. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was with God in the beginning. But even in the Old Testament, we see Christ appearing. In the book of Daniel, the Bible talks about one like the sons of God. It's referring to the person of Christ. But what we see here, ladies and gentlemen, is that after they were circumcised, now they were ready to face Jericho. And what does that speak of? What does that speak of? It means that certain fights will need a removal of the flesh before you step into them. Because, listen to this, you are not going to bring down Jericho because of your ability to push. You are not going to bring down Jericho because you can climb a high wall. You need a commander of the Lord's armies who is going to bring down walls. We have spoken in this place that there are seasons where a door is not enough. There are seasons where a gate is not enough. And what you need there is for walls to come down. And that cannot happen until you've gone through Gilgal. LCP preached a very profound. In fact, she was talking here. She said, you have to make a distinction between an enemy and an enemy. Allow me to submit that over and above, there is something more dangerous than your enemy. It's the stuff that's on the inside of you. You are concerned about your aunt from Kawelingan. If you only knew you. I know you are pleading the blood. You want deliverance from things that need development. If only you, if only you knew. No. Listen to this. When Jesus comes in, he says, before we bring down the walls, let's remove the flesh. The walls will come down. But if the flesh is still in operation, the very same flesh will kick you out of your miracle. Now, what type of protection do I need? What type of a God do I need to operate? I know that he surrounds me, and I'm grateful for that. He protects me from enemies. But God, how are you going to protect me from me? The Bible says, Christ in me. So in other words, not only does he surround me, he saturates me. And in saturation, he is dealing with the inner me. The problem is not Jericho. It's Gilgal. It's a place where God weakens you. So what is my cry this evening? Protect me from that crazy aunt. Protect me from the village witch. But Lord, I'm afraid of me. We often talk about toxic people. But do we know ourselves? We talk about witchcraft. But do we know how wasteful we are? But God says, before you step into this area, before you will see my power, remove the flesh. is what is so powerful about him. In Colossians 1, he talks about his power. And not only is he power over what is visible, or rather, not only does he have authority over what is visible, he has authority over what's innate, over what's within. He has power over generational curses. He has power over generational patterns. He can even save us from ourselves. If only he was able to surround me, it would not be sufficient. Let me say this. If only he was able to surround me. Yes, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand side, and it shall not come near me. But what if it's in me? Yes, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But what if I'm the weapon? So when we talk about him being the protector or him being a man of war, we are talking about even his ability to restrain us. Pastor Marty, how does it work? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, I was just thinking, we faced apartheid, and somehow we're able to experience a level of victory over it because you could see the enemy over there. But when you attain freedom, you can get drunk on your freedom, on your own excesses. Your access can become your excess. How do you kill the inner me? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Let's stand up on our feet. Come on, make it your prayer. Make it your prayer that, Lord, over and above the enemies, over and above the various challenges that we face around us, there is something innate. Lord, protect me from me. One pastor preached a sermon called, not World War One, not World War Two, World War Me. Can we just begin to pray and say, Lord, we want to experience that deliverance. Come on, just pray into it. There are opportunities that are coming your way. You cannot afford to self-destruct. There are doors that are about to happen. You are protected from demonic forces. You have authority over them. But the Lord is saying, I need you to exercise restraint. I need you to exercise authority over yourself. I need you to exercise authority over yourself. Come on, come on. Just 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. 30 more seconds. The Lord will give you victory. The Lord will give you strength. The Bible says the Lord is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need. He's my refuge and strength. He does not give me strength. He is my strength. He is my strength. He is my strength. He is my strength. Reba baba shata daba. La baza katata tabaria la daba. Shibibibibibibi shata takataria. So Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. With every eye closed. With every eye closed. With every eye closed. Every eye closed. It could be that this evening you came into this space without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In all of this atmosphere, in all of this excitement, in all of this anointing, we cannot make the mistake of having you leave this place without you having a loving and a living relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, an expansive life, a life of the ages, a life that is indestructible. So if you are here this evening and you're saying, Pastor Mari, I want to accept this Jesus that you're talking about. Paul cried, who shall save me from this body of sin? Only Jesus can save you from yourself. So right now, with every eye closed, I'm going to make a call. I'm going to make a call for someone who says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, who says, today, Pastor Mari, I want to reconnect with Jesus. If you are in this place, just quickly raise up your hand. Quickly raise up your hand. I'm seeing hands. Come on, just continue to raise them. Continue to raise them. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Come on, keep it up. Keep up your hand. Keep up your hand. Hallelujah. Come on, just come to the front if you've raised your hand. Come to the front if you raise your hand. Come to the front. Celebrate this harvest of souls. Can we celebrate this? We're going to help them as they make a prayer of repentance. Can we just help them say it? Let's say, Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. As of today, I am born again. I'm born from above. Blood, washed of the blood, filled with your spirit, made new, made from heaven. Father, thank you for the free gift of salvation. Today, I'm your child. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I want to say thank you. Praise the Lord. Can we shout hallelujah in this place? Yeah! Let's just stretch out our hands towards this harvest of sons. Souls will become sons in the name of Jesus. Come on, just begin to pray for them. Let's pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, fill them up with your spirit. Fill them up with your spirit, oh God. Fill them up. Fill them up with your spirit, oh God. Fill them up with your spirit, oh God. Fill them up with your spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they are kept of you, oh God. They are kept of you, oh God. And Father, we give you all the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody shout amen. Everybody shout amen.